what the Lord would have us to see. 1 Timothy, stay with chapter 1, and I want to speak to you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, doing what is good and acceptable in the sight of God. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18, and we're going to go right on into chapter 2 and through verse 8 of the second chapter. We're going to begin in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 18. So we share this morning, but I want to give you a little overview here of what's taking place. And Paul, in writing to Timothy, is writing to encourage him. And I don't care who we are, in life's way there comes times of discouragement, times when we just feel like that everything's against us and we don't have anywhere to turn or anyone to share with or think with or what's going on in our lives and stuff. But Paul, who called himself an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandments of Jesus Christ, the Lord commanded him that day on the road to Damascus what he wanted him to do in his heart and his life. And he's been out and about now, and Timothy is one of his, like his own son. And there is, in some of his letters, where he refers to him as his son. But he's talking about the closeness of the relationship that they have together. Now, with Paul, and what he's dealing with here, he's dealing with a king or emperor or whatever you want to call him for the time, and he's of the highest authority there in Rome. And he has, as the scripture teaches later, an evil person. And very much spelled trouble on Paul and Timothy and all of his little churches that he had established so far. Wanted to stamp out anything like a lot of groups that we see and hear today in our world round about us. They don't like Christians. They want us to go away. They want to stamp us out. They want to, and they're doing all kinds of things. Well, Nero was that kind of person. And Nero made a mess out of things. And he got in trouble with his people. He's about to lose his kingship because Rome had nearly burnt completely down. And he had to have an scapegoat to overcome the trouble that he was catching coming out of Rome because of these evil dealings that he'd done and the revolt that took place and the city set on fire and Rome burnt nearly completely down. So as an scapegoat, Nero chose to go against Timothy and Paul and other Christian leaders. And in doing so, it restricted how much they could travel and what they could do. Now, hear my heart when I say this, but as we prepare to send our group to Peru to serve the will of God of what He has planned for them while they're down there, so many's going, what is it, 18? 17. 17 are going, but the rest of us has a responsibility here toward them, to support them and pray for them and love them and care for them as they go about doing what they feel the Lord would have them to do and their ministry down there in Peru. So when we think about what's taking place, I thought about the charge that Paul gave to Timothy. Verse 18. Look at it with me. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 18. He said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." See, he refers to him as his son. It is his son in Christ. "And according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." He was telling Timothy, according to the prophecies or the teachings and the preachings that he had heard about in Timothy, he said that thou mightest war a good warfare. This team doesn't know exactly what they're going to go into when they go down into Peru. They don't know if they'll be totally accepted by, they'll be surrounded by good people that's already trying to do the will of God, and they're going to support that and help that and do that. But what if trouble arises? What if somebody were to simply just disregard them? I went to Montana on a mission trip. I got the door slammed in my face. And I'm not saying that the group from Peru is going over to get in trouble. I'm saying the Peru going to Peru needs to expect to be ready to be denied. They may be rejected. They have to have in their heart prepared for war, a good spiritual warfare. And how do we do that, Brother Larry? To study up on the culture of the Peru people and learn a little bit about what to expect. Now, when I went to Israel in 93, and I was the only guy in there with 27 women. Whew. Well, the preacher was with me. Brother Irby was with me. But that was a trip. And we went and we done and we seen and had a good time. Had someone want to be baptized in the Jordan. And done all the things that a normal tourist might do in that stuff. So one day we was going out to see something. I don't even remember what it was, but we come around the curve. There was a bus crossways in the road, and the men standing out there with their machine guns, you know, made all of us unload, you know, and stuff. Money, money, money. We didn't give them, they told us to expect that. They'd want your money. I had some chewing gum in my pocket. That's all I lost. So, but I'm telling you, that was a scary 30, 45 minutes standing outside that bus with them punching around on you and things, you know. Finally, we get ready and we get through, and I've eaten all the Snickers and Diet Coke. That's what I lived off of for 10 days over there. They said, "We're going home tomorrow. We're going down to Tel Aviv, and we're going to get on that plane." I said, "Thank you, Lord. I can make it another 12 hours. I think I can." Going home. Going home. Then we get in the airport down there, all those little ladies, and I've toted luggage and carried and done and helped and pushed wheelchairs and got them. Everybody's ready, you know. Here comes one of them guards down there with that gun, you know. He's punching around. He gets to me. He pushes me back, takes my suitcase, and he opens it up. Poof, throws it like that. All my dirty laundry and them little old ladies are going to help me. You know, they're going to help me. Gather up my stuff. I said, "I can get it. I told you all of that to tell you this. Expect the unexpected. You know, a lot of them out of a heart of love wants to do things, you know. But I thought to myself, how do you fight something like that? Listen what he says. "An order for you that have been sent to be able to have the ability to fight off any war that shall show itself. Have a good warfare. Have a plan. Have a backup. Who's covering who? Who's seeing the thought? concerning this thing. Finally, he says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You lose your faith. You lose your confidence, your conscience, your ability. Concerning faith becomes a shipwreck. Everybody that claims to be somebody ain't always who they say they are. Here's two men, Hymenaeus and Alexander. We don't know anything about Alexander, but we do know about Hymenaeus here, that the scripture tells us he was upside down in what he believed concerning the resurrection. And as much as Paul and Timothy and others were preaching the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was denouncing that. And it come to a point in a place where Paul had to do something. He said, I delivered him unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He said, I turned it over. There's certain things we can't do anything about, folks. Much as we want to change and much as we want to see, he said here, I put them away concerning faith, having made a shipwreck. They had caused more trouble and more disturbance that he turned them out. And he said that they may not learn to blaspheme. Because of that, he said in verse 1 of chapter 2, I exhort or I urge you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He said, whatever their mission, whatever their part, the charge is for them to, first of all, with supplication, let your needs be known unto the Lord. I hope you have a purpose, a plan, an idea, what you want to accomplish on the trip so that you can move in that direction. Is the proper prayers being placed? Intercession, interceding one for another, caring about their needs. Giving of thanks be made for all men. And everything that you do, it's not like what we did, what God did through you. And this trip is going to be the value to it. He said, for kings and for all that are in authority, anybody that had a place of leadership there, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You know, if you go in there with that reverential awe of who you're there to represent and what your message is, it will be acceptable to God. But when we go in there to put on some kind of show, God's not going to bless that. He said, you're there by all authority of the Lord himself. And he said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You understand from whom you're going to get to this church will commission you before time for you to leave, send you out to care this, and to lead a quiet and peaceful life while you're there. And I don't know any judges, and I don't know any bail bondsmen in Peru, so I hope you live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and honesty. Who will have all men to be saved? What's the number one mission you're going to Peru to do? Here the gospel's already down there. It's not that they're without, but to enhance that gospel, share that, move around. Few people cannot cover an area as large as Peru and the many folks. But he said, The other ultimate desire should be that all men be saved. Now, we know the scripture teaches us that there's times when some men will not be saved because they reject, forget, and refuse to let him be the Lord of their lives. But he said, not only should you have the desire that men be saved, but to come into the knowledge of the truth. If I don't miss my guess, when you get down there, there's going to be a large portion of folks that's hungry. They want to know what the truth is. They want to hear the gospel. They want to sing the hymns of praise. They want to be baptized. They want to share the knowledge of the truth. But are you prepared? Are you ready to do the things? Are you going to react? Are you going to act? I hope we don't just react to what comes up, but we have a plan of action for what needs to come up, and that's the gospel. He said here, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and it's the man, Jesus Christ. Think about that. One God, one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. You may get down there and be confronted by other religious individuals that won't sell you their bit of the goods. Are you prepared? You ready to tell them what? There's just one way to heaven. That's who, through who? Jesus Christ, Son of God. Why is he the only way? Because he died for us, didn't he? He gave himself, verse 6 says, a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom for all, to be a testimony. Every one of you that are going to be a part of that trip, you got a testimony to share what Jesus has done for you and what he wants to do in the hearts and lives of these individuals. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and variety. All different kinds of ways to spread the gospel. Nobody's got the corner on the market except for the fact of the goal line that you're looking to pass over is that one Lord, one Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying then, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What is our place? To pray. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Just wondering. You know, Lord, I'm hope, I pray that this life, this mission trip, the lives of these individuals will sincerely be a life-changing experience for them. To go out and share that gospel. I know my couple of mission trips I was privileged to be a part of made a lasting impression on me. One of the fast things about the trip to Israel was when I'm studying that Bible now, and I see the Sea of Galilee, or I see the Dead Sea, or I see Jericho, or I see these other places where they were supposed to be. When I walked into the tomb where Jesus was laying, you know, been there, I've seen it, I can visualize it. It helps me to study and understand these things. Talk about a lot of foolishness sometimes. But the real question is, you know, the understanding that I got from it to help me in my ministry all these years after that. That was 93. Here we are in 26 and 7, that's what, 33? Somewhere along in that, years later, I can still refer back to those trips, those things I saw, the things I've done. And when I'm sitting there studying that, I said, I can remember that. That was his, and I can put it all back together. Why? Because it's in my mind and it's in my heart to carry that good news. Be ashamed to go and come home empty-handed, wouldn't you? Go with a zeal in your heart to learn more about what it takes to be an apostle of God, what he wants you to be, his messenger, what he'd have you to do. And if I don't miss my guess, you'll be anxious to go back again and again and again in the days to come. Why? Because you're going to sense something. You're going to sense that hunger that's in the lives of those people to share Jesus with them. You're going to carry them a little something. You're going to give something. You're going to do that to entice and draw them in and to do what? You're not bribing them. No, you're seeking them. Whatsoever it takes to reach him. What Paul tell Timothy his desire was? That all men everywhere should be what? Saved. You know, Scripture teaches us that ain't realistic but it can be your desire. And you may get rejected. You may get the door slammed in your face. You may get all kind of things to happen. But remember who you're representing. And remember who's behind you back at home, praying and supporting you in every way possible to do what God has sent you to do in your heart and your life. Would you pray with me? God, as we week by week draw up to the commissioning of this group to go to Peru, we know that the devil ain't happy. We know that he has already come up with him a game plan to make this one of the most miserable trips if this group listens to him they've ever took. But if they stay focused on you, Father, let you be the will of their lives. Use them in a mighty way there. The devil won't have a victory. Help us as the church family to support them and pray for them and love them, care for them. Whatever that need might be, whatever that discouragement might come, whatever happens, know that you have them in the palm of your hand. You're going to care for their needs. We share in this time of invitation. Maybe, Father, there's individuals here who in their hearts and in their lives have not been living up to the person that God wants them to be. They've allowed things of the world, desires of the heart, the will of their friends to override what you have prepared for. Maybe God, this morning, you can speak to their hearts and say to them, I love you and I loved you enough to die for you. Would you come back home? Would you be willing to say to them, Jesus, I come. Stir our hearts, God. Know us. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Jesus, I come is our invitation this morning. I'm here. I want to pray with you. These altars are open. Any need you have, you do what the Lord would have you to do.